This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go,
man. I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. I've got one question and one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters. We come to you live for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. The All-Star Game does not count now, so tonight will be strictly an exhibition. The owners wanted to continue using it as a carrot that decided home field advantage in the World Series, but the players didn't want to do that, didn't like that, and so they pushed for it not to be that way anymore. The owners really wanted to do it simply to help out Fox. You know, that's their television partner. Fox pays the most money to broadcast the game. And so it gives Fox a little juice because this time it counts, it's for the World Series, there's something on the line, managers manage like it's a real game and stuff like that. I was always uncomfortable with it. And it's amazing, it lasted for 13 years. I mean, we've been doing the this time it counts for a long time. If I'm not mistaken, guys, check this for me. Bud Selig, hands of the air in Miller Park was 0-2. And I think that we instituted it, I think that baseball instituted this time it counts the next year in 03. So I think 03 was the first time that we had this. So we've been going on 13 years of this. But, so I'm correct on that? Okay. So that's why it's kind of crazy that we've had it around that long and it still was always uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable for me for the obvious reasons. There is too much at stake with a Game 7 of the World Series to have that hinge on an exhibition game in July. This was always a hybrid. It wasn't a real game, but it was an exhibition because there was something that came out of it. So managers kind of managed it like a real game, but we still had a fan vote. They kind of had the best roster, but we voted in the last guy on the roster and a bunch of guys would pull themselves out and a lot of starting pitchers couldn't go because they had pitched on Sunday. It was never streamlined. Either you go all in like it's a real game or it's an exhibition and it can't count for anything. And Game 7 of the World Series is too important. It's too damn important. You know, so to have it be decided by guys that won't play in that game in July, I thought was always round peg, square hole to make the TV partner happy. I'm glad it's done away with. Now I realize it loses a little oomph tonight. The All-Star game loses a little bit of juice because you don't have it mean anything. It's a strict exhibition. And now how will it be managed? But there has to be a better solution. You know, I don't know what that is. Tonight, the winning team gets $20,000 a person. I mean, I can't even imagine any one of those players cares about $20,000. It's not even $200,000, let alone $2 million. Does any one of those guys care about $20,000 enough to really go out all to win? Maybe all of the players on the winning team automatically get X number of votes to get into next year's All-Star game. Maybe there could be a reward that way, but it can't decide Game 7 of the World Series and where that thing is played. And luckily, we're back to sanity where Game 7 of the World Series will be played by the team that, you know, has the better record. Just like the Stanley Cup Final, just like the NBA Finals. Could you imagine if the Warriors didn't have home field advantage or home court advantage this year, despite having the best record in all of basketball, because the East won the All-Star game? But that's what we're talking about. Could you imagine if the Cavs happened to have home field advantage, home court advantage this year in the NBA Finals, despite winning 10 fewer games than the Warriors, simply because the East won the All-Star game? That's how ridiculous this was. So it's better now, but I get it. It means that there's a little bit less juice tonight, but I'm okay with that. Michael's in Abilene, Texas, listening to 98.1 to CBS Sports Radio on a Trash Tuesday. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, morning, brother. Let me get the beam up.
You got it. It's cooking.
Digging the new time slot. I'm a little late on the Trash Tuesday, but I hope it's still okay to go ahead.
Oh, no question about it. What do you got?
The Cleveland Cavaliers are 5 seconds away from being Trash Tuesday for the rest of their eternity. I cannot believe that Dan Gilbert, now, of course, we've got a little time, but the signs are pointing to Dan Gilbert letting LeBron James walk away next year without anything. Of course, they're talking about Melo. They're talking about this guy and that guy. LeBron does not want to be there. Why does he not want to be there? Because the pieces that he spent so much time putting together didn't work out. Kevin Love might be the softest player ever next to Dwight Howard. Can't handle the pressure mentally. Kyrie Irving, great scorer. Can score on just about anybody. Unfortunately, he's a little small, can't guard anybody. Tristan Thompson, the most unathletic, ugliest looking player I've ever seen in my entire life. Now he hustles, he gets some boards, that's great. Not enough. With this new super team out in the West, the Warriors, Cleveland is about to be trashed every Tuesday for the rest of their lives because they're about to let LeBron James walk away again and get nothing. Kyrie has already said, if LeBron James leaves, I'm gone. So here's a scenario for you, DA. Kevin Love is stuck in Cleveland for the rest of his life, and he never has to worry about getting to the finals and choking ever again. Appreciate it, DA. Have a good one.
Trash Tuesday is fun for everyone.
Michael and Abilene always brings it. I appreciate the call. I think it's crazy as well that it feels like the Cavaliers are not doing everything in their power to make sure LeBron is happy. And whether that means retaining David Griffin, whether that means making sure Chauncey Billups has final say, whether that means giving Chauncey a better salary, whatever that is. I mean, maybe it was unlikely, unrealistic to pull off a trade for either Jimmy Butler or Paul George, but it does feel like they don't care if LeBron leaves next summer, that they are not placating to him, and that just is terrible business. Scott's in North Carolina, listening on 100.3 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Scott. What's going on?
Good morning. A little trash talk about tattoos on the beach.
Yes, sir.
The one this weekend that I saw and that my 12-year-old son saw, an entire sleeve on an arm of nothing but Pokemon characters. Okay. And the guy was close enough to us on the beach, my son could name them off.
Nice.
Okay. I'm like, wow, what kind of future has this guy got? And the other arm had all the Mario characters.
Wow.
Luigi, Mario, and all that. Really odd. Okay, the craziest thing about it, yesterday afternoon, my son and I go into GameStop to get a game, and he's working there.
No way!
Yeah.
Same guy was working there. Oh, my God.
Trashing is fun.
It's amazing. You know, I will say, I don't mind how sleeves of tattoos look. I think it could definitely look cool. Like our very own James Ward is a sleeve of tattoos. He looks pretty cool with those.
Yeah, sleeves are so hit or miss. Like everybody thinks they could get a sleeve, but really that's not the case.
But the art is so key in it because just having a ton of tattoos in either arm doesn't make it look cool just because it's a sleeve. Got to have the good art there and a good color there. But I think that like Pokemon and Nintendo characters could actually be kind of cool.
Could be, but again, the art and color of them have to be spot on.
Yeah.
Because you could look either really nerdy and stupid and just not good, or like, oh, that's really cool and you look really good, and that both could be within the same characters.
Let me tell you, I want that guy working at GameStop, though.
If I'm
shopping for games, I want the guy that is invested two sleeves of tattoos in video game characters.
You know what? Maybe you don't.
No, you do.
If you're the...
You absolutely
if
do.
If you're the 16-year-old that's really into video games like him, but if you're the parent going in Christmas shopping, I don't think you want to buy from that guy.
No, no, no. You definitely do. That guy knows everything about the video games.
But then do you want your kid ending up like this guy with Pikachu tattooed on his forehead?
Well, the hope is that there's a happy medium, that you can buy your kid a Pokemon game or Super Mario Kart, and he's not going to have to get two sleeves of tattoos to prove his love.
Parents be crazy.
Parents do be crazy. Justin's in Idaho, listening on CBS Sports Radio's 93.1. What's up, Justin?
Not much, man. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. What's going on?
Nothing. I just wanted to touch on the All-Star game and everything, the way you thought it should be done and everything. The way I agree, I don't think it should involve the World Series in any form. I don't think that it should give them both stuff for next year. I think maybe like giving them opportunity for more endorsements through the league. You know, make you know the way the league does commercials and the league has its own advertisements give the guys on the winning team an opportunity to be the faces of the league for the next year, you know? Do something like that. That way it doesn't involve anything with next year's All-Star game or doesn't involve anything with the World Series, but it still gives them a reason to play. Who doesn't want to be the face of the league?
So I don't know how that would work, though, where you would have how many guys per roster here? 25 maybe going into tonight's game? You would have 25 guys compete to be the face of the league the next couple of months? You know, there should be something. There should be a reward for the All-Star game. But it's weird because there is no real reward for winning the NBA All-Star game. There is no real reward for winning the NHL All-Star game. There is no reward for the Pro Bowl, although we all know that the Pro Bowl stinks. And I think when we attach artificial significance to it, it makes it even stupider. You know, I kind of wonder if... Why can't it just be an exhibition? That's all that it is. Like McGregor Mayweather's an exhibition, and we're totally fine with that. I realize it's a one-off, but I think that maybe it's a sign of our culture that we need everything to matter more than it does. And it's a little bit like last night, Carl Ravitch saying this is the most anticipated home run derby of all time before it started. That is absolutely factually incorrect. Was it cool to have Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton go at it? Yes. But it doesn't top following the 1998 home run chase with Maguire Sosa coming into Fenway Park, history of all histories, combined with Griffey and the three of them mashing at Fenway. I mean, that is easily way more anticipated coming off the 98 home run chase than last night. I saw today on one of these talking head shows in the morning, is Aaron Judge the next LeBron? It's like assigning ridiculous significance. So we're going to say right now, after half a season, the home run derby, that Aaron Judge should be compared to maybe the second greatest or first greatest basketball player of all time? I mean, that's ludicrous. But I guess just in today's day and age, we just have to keep elevating the hysteria and the hype. Dan is in Elmira, New York, listening on 104.9 to CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Dan?
Well, DA, beam me up.
Okay.
I'm really disappointed ESPN wouldn't let me do any broadcasts, you know, with the home run calls. I got them all, you know.
Oh, who are you, Dan?
All rise. Here comes the judge.
Oh, I'm talking to John Sterling.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty bored right now. No baseball games. Susan's out of town, and...
Okay, well, give me another home run call there, John.
Okay, Judge Tyrion blast.
Okay, give me a Yankees win, the Yankees win.
Okay, 3-2 pitch. Strike three, Yankees win. Yankees win!
I am the epic fail.
You're welcome, Mraz.
Oh.
You got your epic fail.
You know what? I'm not welcome because I just cut 2 minutes of another one before that jerk.
That was a woof.
That was bad.
That was a real woof. That was a whiff and a woof.
I knew when he called right away. He's called before and he had better stuff last time, but I knew he had nothing. He had nothing.
So bad. First of all, he doesn't call up as John. He calls up as Dan in Elmira.
Right. He calls up as Dan going, I do a good Sterling, remember?
But then he doesn't even introduce himself as John Sterling. He says, hello, D.A., can I get beamed up? So that might as well have just been Dan's voice.
And he sounds more like he's doing former Wheels of Steel member Steve Moralia more so than he's doing John Sterling.
When we come back, sound check your best audio of the day, including a Chris Christie face-off with a caller on sports radio yesterday. D.A., CBS Sports Radio.
Open now for brunch.
Lobster roll or fried clam dinner?
Oh, I'm going to mix on it. My favorite is the clam roll.
D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
I just love Gary Thorne saying that. And now it's stuck in my head. Every single day I see anything clam or lobster related, I think of, I'm going to mix on it. Remember, the D.A. show is on iTunes. So if you missed any part of the show or just want to hear it again, you can always subscribe for free or just listen on demand to any segment or hour or interview that you want. Go to iTunes and search DA on CBS, and you will see every show, every day, every hour, every segment, and you can choose what you want to listen to. That's DA on demand on iTunes. Trashing's coming in on Twitter. Tim tweets, D.A., I'm trashing all the girls who want the perks of a relationship but don't want a relationship.
You've been trashed.
Isn't it usually the other way, though, that guys don't want the relationship? The girls don't want the relationship? That's a tough situation to be in. Jay tweets, Froyo tips jars at the register I'm trashing. I put Froyo in a cup. I put on toppings and on the scale. You weighed it with a button. You did nothing. Hashtag Trash Tuesday.
Taking out the trash.
Mraz, is this a legitimate gripe from somebody in the service industry at Froyo? You put it in your own cup. You put the toppings on. And you put it on the scale. The person at the front only presses the button for the receipt.
You know what? Yeah, that's giving the rest of the food service industry a bad name. It just is. Because people see that, then they get aggravated in spots where they should tip more. Then that hurts the people that do deserve tips.
Because at a place like Subway where you worked, you are taking orders and having to assemble individually all of these sandwiches.
Right. So we got tips at Subway, but it's far different than working at your normal fast food place where you're making the food behind the counter. Like, I'm walking step by step with you, making your sandwich along the way. I think that warrants a tip. When you're pulling a lever on your own and dropping some Oreo crumbles on your own, big deal. They tell you the weight on the scale? No tip for you.
Yeah, no, that's a totally legitimate gripe by Jay.
It's like the waiters at the buffets that stand over you when the check comes looking for their tip. Like, okay, I'll give you a buck for the iced tea I ordered. Other than that, take a hike.
Chuck tweets, D.A., I'm trashing U.S. Customs for taking my legally purchased Quebec maple syrup, claiming it's illegal. That's BS. Hashtag maple syrup syndicate.
You're so trashy.
Wow. I feel very bad for anybody that had their maple syrup confiscated because maple syrup is delicious. And I just had the best honey over the weekend. I don't know where this honey was from. I had this honey on top of something. I'm like, oh my God, this honey is great. And I realized I love honey and I love maple syrup, probably because it's just sugar, but it's delicious.
Maybe you were a bee in your previous life.
Perhaps. It's time for sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey on the idea of a 14-week college football season. At first, I'm like, oh, of course they're going to add more games to the college football season, but instead it's just a two-bye schedule, double byes.
There's not opposition here to a 14-week season. There's curiosity and interest. There are two important points that were communicated. One, we don't want to see practice begin even earlier in the summer. It moves back this year a few days because of the health and safety changes introduced.
So it's going to end up happening, obviously, because what it means is there's an extra week of games. It's going to start a week earlier. Now, I don't love the idea of college football starting a week earlier. I think Labor Day weekend is the perfect weekend. In fact, sometimes on Labor Day weekend, I go, I'd rather this be the last non-football weekend. I'd rather see football extend later. You know, to me, start the season later, end the season later, so that we have more football in February than we do, or January, than we do in the back end in August. But you know this is going to end up happening because what they want is an extra week to be able to sell games on the television package. Doesn't mean teams play more games. They're not going to allow players to have to practice more or start practice earlier during the summer. So it'll just be a double bye, and you know it's going to come down the pike because it means more money. Butch Jones, head coach of Tennessee, going into a season where he is definitively on the hot seat.
We want to compete for championships year in and year out. So we've come a long way, but there's a lot. But obviously when you're at Tennessee, the expectations are very, very high. But I think if you step back and you really look at the narrative, there's a lot of great things and a lot of positive momentum that continues to really progress in our football program.
You know, he's going to say all the right things, and he's going to say how we've won X number of games and won all these bowl games in a row, and that's fine and good. I mean, it was better than the Derek Dooley era, that's for sure, and he helped build the program back up to respectability. But we're now at the point in time where Tennessee fans need and demand more, and so Butch Jones winning 8 games this year is not going to do it. And I think he's got to get to the SEC championship game or else they're going to run him out of town. And it's hard not to say that should be the expectation because in the SEC East, it's Florida, Georgia, Tennessee. They've got to get to Atlanta. They've got to get there. And they just continually come up lame in the big spot year after year after year. And finally, Chris Christie, governor of New Jersey, with record low approval ratings, is guest hosting on WFAN in the afternoon slot as they look for a replacement for Mike Francesa for the end of the year. And Christie has apparently been a candidate for that. Well, caller Mike in Montclair, who's a legend on WFAN, took him to task.
Mike in Montclair. What's up, Mike?
Governor, next time you want to sit on a beach that is closed to the entire world except you.
Yeah.
You put your fat ass in a car and go to one that's open to all your constituents.
Well, you know,
not just you and yours.
Interesting, Mike. You know what?
What's that, Gov?
You know, Mike, I love getting calls from communists in Montclair.
Communists in Montclair.
You know,
you're a bully, you Governor, are, no, and I don't like bullies.
You know what? And listen, I'm not the one who came on the air. Hey, hold on,
your
Mike.
Entire career.
Mike, I'm not the guy who came on the air, swore on the air.
Who swore?
And so you did.
Get the heck out of here.
You know, you're swearing on the air, Mike. You're a bum.
You know,
bad optics.
Okay?
Mike,
and
I'd love to come look at your optics every day, buddy. And you know what, Mike? What matters is what you do. That's what matters.
And what have you done?
What I just did was stop polluting the airways with a guy like that.
All right, so bring down the audio for a second here. So I got a couple of thoughts on this, okay? Number one, if you're a host in sports talk, you got to be better about that back and forth. You can't just cut off a guy and say, oh, I made the airwaves better because I cut you off. No, Mike and Montclair, if you want to spar, let's spar. That Christie didn't bring anything to the table there. He didn't defend being on the beach. He didn't defend his governorship. He didn't defend anything. He just called him a bum. So I thought that was very poor. If you're going to be a sports talk host, hey, man, you're going to get this type of stuff. Number two, Chris Christie has to realize that when you are in a seat of exposure, of celebrity, what have you, you are going to get friction. Forget him being a very polarizing guy. Like, I sit here every day and take crap on social media. Every single day. You know, if you just end up shutting people off, cutting them off, you're a bum, get into the trash talk, you are really stooping to a really pathetic level. If you hear somebody call up this show and they trash me, what do I do? What is my calling card? Let them have the floor. Give them as much leash, as much rope as possible. And just Let's go. I'm fine. Let's go. Let's go toe-to-toe. And let's discuss and let's argue and let's debate. I'm not just going to call you a bum and hang up on you. I think that's it's a poor sports radio. It's a poor radio moment for Chris Christie, who's got to know he's going to get it sitting in those airwaves, sitting on that chair, rather, on the airwaves. Number two, he calls Mike in Montclair a communist, okay, because the backstory is that Montclair, as a township, is a more liberal-leaning township that didn't vote for Chris Christie. And so he's going to call everybody there a communist, obviously, kind of painting them in the same brushstroke. Well, if a Democratic governor sits on the airwaves and calls all of the conservatives that didn't vote for him a crackpot Tea Party moron or whatever, that doesn't help anything either. Like, you're supposed to, in that spot, if you're leading people, be a unifier. You are not supposed to take the people that didn't vote for you and trash them. And that is where we are at in this country with our leadership. And Christie is the worst of it, because he could say, well, what have you ever done, Mike in Montclair? Mike in Montclair's contribution to WFAN is actually better than anything Christie's done, because Mike in Montclair is actually an entertaining, funny caller. And, I mean, we're going to start like, comparing resumes? Like, Christie's approval rating is 14% right now. So the whole thing is so broken. The whole idea, like, you want somebody in a leadership position to be more diplomatic, don't you? That if you didn't vote for me, you've got to be a communist. Or if you didn't vote for me, you've got to be a Tea Party, you know, radical or something. Like, there's got to be a common ground here. And our elected leaders need to be held to a higher standard. And frankly, I think WFAN putting Chris Christie on the air at this point is a mistake. I think it is lowbrow. I think it's a mistake. I think it's problematic to be looking to get attention because you have a polarizing figure on the airwaves. You know, I just think it's such a strategic misfire. I think it makes them look bad. And Christie, he played to the lowest common denominator there. Like, you got to have fun with it. If you're going to be Chris Christie, you're going to sit on the beach, you're going to F off everybody. Screw you, screw you, screw you. Well, you've got to be ready to roll a little bit on the air. And to just cut him off and say, you're a bum? I mean, hey, you got to be better than that. Let's face it. You got to be better than that. And forget being an elected official and just, like, wiping clear everybody that didn't vote for you has got to be, you know, called a name or on a crazy side of the fence or whatever. Like, come on. When we come back here on the show, we've got your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut. Plus, we've got your epic fail, and I think you know what it's going to be. And you know, Susan. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Sports talk was meant to be on an imaginary spaceship.
I'm a fat lord.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Sign up to be an O Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. It's fast, it's easy, it's free only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. So Dan in Elmira, New York, who called in with a really bad John Sterling impersonation, after we ripped him after the bad one, he called back and insisted, no, it was a really good one.
Okay, Judge Tyrion Blast.
What did he say to you on the phone?
He said, I hope I'm not the epic fail for a second time on the show. You know, I thought those were really good Sterling impersonations. And I said, well, you're going to have to find out when the epic fail comes. But no, they weren't.
Wait a second. When was he the first epic fail?
He called about a month and a half ago when we were in this time slot and called to say he loved your John Sterling and did his back to you and he was okay, but we just had you and him doing John Sterling together. But now I guess he thinks that's his calling card, that he's the John Sterling of the show.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't very good.
Strike three. Yankees win. The Yankees win!
That's better. But it doesn't have the...
Better?
It's better than his home run call.
Oh, great. You know, my index finger's taller than my pinky finger. so bad. Boo.
Oh. Yeah, it's July 11th here on the show, if you couldn't tell. All right, it's time for your cut line.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
We start with former Jazz guard Trey Burke, who actually was a very high draft pick, a top 10 pick from the Jazz, but never kind of lived up to the billing, was eventually traded to the Wizards and now is a free agent. In response to Gordon Hayward leaving the Jazz, Trey Burke tweeted, LOL, I'm just afraid no one wants to play there, my guy, with two crying faces. And somebody responded, curious why you think no one wants to play in Utah. Trey responds, they just burned their All-Star jerseys. I mean, come on. Is it true nobody wants to play in Utah? I don't necessarily believe that. I mean, if you found guys like John Stockton and Karl Malone, they loved playing there. They couldn't imagine not playing there. Those guys made their lives there and love the fan base and love the area. And by the way, Salt Lake City is a gorgeous, gorgeous area. And that part of Utah, I mean, all of Utah, is breathtakingly beautiful. And does it have the nightlife of a Miami, of a New York, of an LA? No, but not every player needs the nightlife. I'm disappointed Gordon Hayward left because I think what they were building in Utah would give him a chance to win. Now, maybe not as immediately as the Celtics because you're out west versus being out east, and the Celtics were just the one seed of the Eastern Conference. But had Gordon Hayward stayed and those guys continued to grow together, you could really see them being a force in the Western Conference. And he spent 7 years there. He got better and better and better. They helped develop him. They gave him good coaching. They totally supported him. They brought in Ricky Rubio for him, and he still left them in the lurch. So I'm disappointed by Gordon Hayward in that instance, or because of those reasons. But do I think nobody wants to play there? I don't think anybody looks at them burning Gordon Hayward's jersey and says, suddenly I'm not going to go. Because same thing happened in Cleveland to LeBron. Same thing happened in Oklahoma City to Kevin Durant. It's par for the course. In fact, it just means that you matter. And for Gordon Hayward, who's not LeBron and is not Kevin Durant, you know, it's almost a sign of respect that they burned his jersey. So I don't necessarily buy Trey Burke. I'm sure if you want the big city, you're not going to sign there. If you want the nightlife, you might not want to sign there. But I don't think nobody wants to play there because they burned jerseys of Gordon Hayward. That I'm just not feeling. That's where I think he's off the ball. That's where I think that that whole thing is Trey Burke's wrong.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Major League Baseball expansion is on the table, Rob Manfred says, and he has three cities that he's pointed out. Montreal, Charlotte, and Mexico cities as possible MLB expansion places. However, he says that before there's any expansion, we need to figure out the stadium situations in Tampa and Oakland. Here's the thing. There's 30 teams right now. There could be 32, and you could still have a healthy league, an organized league, the same way that the NFL is. They've got 32. Meantime, the other three leagues have 30 teams. So you could expand two more squads. I think, though, it's an important thing to watch, not potential expansion. It's important to watch if Tampa or Oakland doesn't get their stadium situations done, are they relocating to Montreal or Charlotte or Mexico City? Now, it sounds like the Oakland A's are going to get this deal done. The A's are going to have their own little ballpark, and it's going to be great because A's fans have never enjoyed their own stadium. They've always shared the cavernous, huge Oakland Coliseum with the Raiders. And even when the Raiders left, they were still playing in a football stadium. So I think that thing's going to get done. It looks like the city, the state, it's all going to go all in and say, okay, the A's are our team because the Warriors are moving across the bay into San Francisco. The Raiders are leaving for Las Vegas. But keep an eye on that because there's a reason when commissioners bring up cities that could be expansion points. It's to help be a catalyst to get new stadiums done in existing places. that you can say, well, we have these other places and they would be very good. And, well, those cities need to do something about their stadiums.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And finally, Kirk Cousins is now a week away from the franchise window closing, and it doesn't appear that he's going to have a multi-year contract, which means we are on the precipice of Kirk Cousins having a one-year deal under the franchise tag coming up this season of like $26 million or something like that for him in Washington. And then if they wanted to re-sign him after that in 2018 to a one-year deal, it'd be a 44% raise on that salary in 2018. So you're talking about something like $40 million or something like that, which is just insane money for Kirk Cousins. And I think Washington, I understand where they were coming from because you wanted to keep seeing whether Cousins were going to be able to do it. But now that he has shown that he's at least a serviceable starting quarterback, you're cooked because he's not going to give you an inch, not an inch of the negotiations. And so now you're going to have to overpay him to keep him, and you don't want to overpay him to keep him. And I think, frankly, this is the last year of Kirk Cousins in Washington because I don't think they're going to get a long-term deal done. And so you may see him next offseason gone somewhere else, a team like San Francisco or somewhere that's in desperate need of a quarterback, because it feels like if they're not working on getting a long-term deal done within this window, they're never going to get a long-term deal done.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
All right. That is your cut line of the morning. And here is a tweet coming in from Jared. DA, don't give that guy the epic fail. That's exactly what he wants. Well, it might have been what Dan and Elmira was fishing for, but it also was an easy epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Dan is in Elmira, New York, listening on 104.9 to CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Dan?
Well, DA, beam me up.
Okay.
I'm really disappointed ESPN wouldn't let me do any broadcasts, you know, with the home run calls. I got them all, you know.
Oh, who are you, Dan?
All rise. Here comes the judge.
G-Man is a He-Man.
Oh, I'm talking to John Sterling.
Yeah. You know, I'm pretty bored right now. No baseball games. Susan's out of town, and.
It was a play.
Okay, well, give me another home run call there, John.
Okay, Judge Tyrion Blast.
All rise. Here comes the judge. That was a judgian home run.
Okay. Give me a Yankees win, the Yankees win.
Okay. 3-2 pitch. Strike three. Yankees win. The Yankees win!
I am the epic fail.
You're welcome, Mraz.
Oh.
That was a woof.
That was bad.
That was a real woof. That was a whiff and a woof.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
I give Dan and Elmira a C on his The Yankees Win. But his home run calls were an F because it was a Judgian blast, but he said Judge Tyrion blast.
So he didn't even get that. He was like combining Jeterian and Judge Tyrion. He was way off.
What's Jeterian?
That was Derek Jeter. It was a Jeterian shot.
Oh, that's what he called them?
Yes.
Jeterian?
He makes up a lot of words.
Oh, that's really bad, too. It's a Jeterian blast?
We under a rock for 15 years? Yeah.
I guess I never heard his...
Yeah, it's a
Jeter
Jeterian
home run call.
Jeterian blast. El Capitan.
Yes, I knew that one.
It's a Jeterian shot.
Oh, God, that's bad.
Okay, Judge Tyrion blast.
It almost sounds like your uncle got really drunk and then played Santa Claus on Christmas Eve.
Who, Dan and Elmira or real John Sterling?
I'll let you be the guest.
Okay.
More tweets of the Trash Tuesday coming in, which is always fun as well. Tal tweeting in, five of my coworkers decide to have their conversation in my office while I'm trying to listen to the DA show. Hashtag trashing inconsiderate people.
Hot trash.
They deserve it. They deserve it. You're trying to focus on the show. Please. Maestro Mike tweets, DA, I'm trashing jersey burning. It's so overused and feigning an outrage that doesn't always exist. Utah, really? Stop it. Shaking my head.
Must be Trash Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, just donate it. You don't want the jersey anymore, that's fine. It's bad memories, fine. Just donate it. Somebody at your local Salvation Army or Goodwill store will pick that up. I mean, putting a jersey in some type of oil can and burning it over a grill in a parking lot, I agree. We got to find something else. All right, that'll do it for us this morning here on the show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer, Pete the Buddy Bellotti on the wheels of steel, James Graceffo as your digital broadcast producer today, and Andrew Bogus on your headlines. We're back at it tomorrow. Be there. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA. The Mothership disconnects.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.